Blog Talk Radio.
Just excuse me. We're going to have to turn this over to Jan and let him run the show as always. But definitely on this evening, I was sitting here trying to study this precept because something doesn't sit right with me in my spirit. And I would end up going to sleep and dreaming about the precept. And so, and then I would realize I was asleep and wake up before I got an answer. So it's been crazy. But nevertheless, we're going to proceed with this because we are looking, we have been in the last days for about 2,000 years. But Messiah said something. He said a lot of things, but concerning this, he said something that I think deserves looking into, and what's coming deserves looking into, because there's a time coming that is going to be so terrible. He says it hasn't been anything like this before, and it didn't happen in 70 A.D., because he ties it to his return. So this is something that is future, and it's something that, you know, as his people and the congregation, the body, we definitely need to look at and get clarity and ask for clarity in this area. Nevertheless, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk, in Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, whether you're in South America, North America, the African continent, the Middle East, the Far East, the European theater, or the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ. I'm going to ask the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads. Let us turn toward the east and do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must hired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah to you. We magnify you and we lift you up on today, Father. We thank you for all your things that you do for us. We thank you for your gift of salvation. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father. And we just magnify your name on today, Father. We magnify it to the world. Hallelujah, that you are Elohim and you are the only Elohim that there is. The only one that anybody should be worshiping. And we just glorify you on today. And we thank you always. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah to your Yah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly and that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but repent of our sin and acknowledge that you have sent us into this captivity and not complain about that punishment, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us and that we have done wickedly. And, Father, we are repenting of our wickedness and repenting of our sin. And we won't complain about the punishment that you've placed upon us as a people by scattering us into all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, turn your eyes and your ears back toward your people Israel. Hear our supplication and our prayers and deliver us from this captivity. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them, give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all those that are called in Messiah, that they would hear your voice and obey. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you would smile upon this work and that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. And let us sound, let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. We'll sound the shofar after this. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. And I will personalize this for us. You read it along with me, but I'm going to personalize. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us, and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee verse 47. Yet if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whether we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, turn unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemies, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built, or which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be opened unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance. As thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, and verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Now let me get into the studio here. All right. The sounding of the shofar.
To stand before you on the Lord's Sabbath day. In fact, this day, sisters and brothers, is what we're going to talk about and what it means. The title of this lesson is the Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. The Lord's Sabbath, a day of rest. You know, we keep these feast days because that's a part of God's plan. And at the very top of the feast days is the Lord's week of Sabbath, because this day means something. But being that if you're a people that don't observe the Lord's Sabbath day, then you don't have a clue what the Lord is doing, and you don't have a clue what this day means. The Lord give you these things, not just I'm going to put you through some rituals so I have you being busy. He give you certain things that you need to do, which is beneficial to your salvation. And it will also tell you what he is doing.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions. God put the plan in motion from the very beginning, then gave the law to Moses so we know when we and with his own finger, it was personally written. But still the law that says remember is the first we forget. And what's worse is you got the nerve to call yourself Christians. Like when Christ came, the Sabbath day starts switching, but no mention of Sunday Sabbath in scripture. So where it come from if God didn't deliver? Don't say one of Paul's epistles. Like Paul somehow supersedes the official. How the servant gonna serve a different dish from the menu? Remember, Paul's habit was to teach on the Sabbath, and he ain't preach against the law, he was keeping commandments. And since when did Paul establish Christianity standards? Thought the definition of Christian was those that follow Christ. And the Lord's Sabbath starts every Friday night. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks is professing to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed, and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? I'm not a Seventh-day Adventist or Jehovah's Witness. I'm just one who doesn't add nor diminish from scripture that's written revelations. Who switched the day of convocations? Worshiping the constellations, not knowing it's pagan. That's the Roman congregation giving false information on that other Jesus from these Japheth nations. Salvation is of the Jews, John 4:22. These modern day Christians, they ain't got no clue. They try to justify their lies till their face turned blue. Your New Testament refused, eradicated in lieu. And your Easter celebration proves you know it's the truth. How can Sunday be the first day and the Sabbath too? And at the end of the Sabbath, Mary came to the tomb. And Saturday is the day the Lord stood up to read. But who you follow? Constantine or Luke 4:16? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks as professors to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions?
The world is so uninformed until they don't even know that the only God that this man has ever dealt with is Jesus before he became Jesus. And you have people arguing about, well, I like the God of the Old Testament, others, I like the God of the New Testament, but what they don't realize, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Therefore, if you realize that they are both one and the same, then you understand that nothing has changed since the Lord started dealing with man. Somewhere along the line, people think that there are changes when it comes to the Word of God. Sisters and brothers, there is no change. The Lord says he's God and he changed not.
Amen. The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Now rejected every Sunday by folks as professors to be Christian, but they never follow Jesus' direction. You should observe the Lord's Sabbath on the day that he rested, the day that he sanctified, hallowed and blessed it. Instead of serving Satan, falling for his deceptions, how you call yourself Christian and don't follow directions? The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, y'all. Don't take issue with me. The Lord said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Follow Jesus direction.
That was a command.
On the day that he rested.
Yeah. Not a suggestion.
Falling for a deception.
I'm just giving a message.
The seventh day of the week is the day that he rested, hallowed and blessed it. My folks is professing. Follow Jesus directions.
Yeah.
nice and strong on this morning, and got up and started, you know, harvesting. Got a lot of planting to do. I really do. Anyway, the end times. Most of you are going to have to help me with this. So let me decrease, you increase. You take over. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. So anytime, you know, we hear brothers talking about Russia doing this or China doing that or Korea doing this, so we're not to be concerned with that. So that must be. We're not to be troubled by that. Okay. And sometimes it's hard because this, you know, these countries, Russia, China, the U.S., most of the free democratic nations in the world have nuclear weapons and the ability to destroy the world. And, you know, the world, as far as we know, I'm not going to say that it's never been in this situation because there's evidence out there that this is not the first generation of this world. So that's a whole nother story. But today, the last 50, 60 years, somewhere in there, it's the first time that man has had the ability to destroy the entire world, literally. Not just, you know, what they could rule over. Because when you look at, you know, the kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar or Alexander the Great or the Medo-Persian kingdom, those are just representative kingdoms to get a message across to us, okay? Because when you look at the area that they cover, they are kingdoms that ruled Israel, okay? Not that they were global kingdoms, but that they ruled Israel. They ruled the land that Israel, that is now Israel, okay? And that's why they're in the scriptures. But when you talk about a global kingdom, a kingdom that, you know, Egypt was a global kingdom, but Egypt's not even included on the statue that the Most High showed to Nebuchadnezzar when he asked, what is going to be the end? You know, what comes after me? Egypt wasn't even included, and Egypt was a greater empire than any of them. And somehow the Most High didn't include them in that statute. But when we go to Isaiah chapter 19 and verse 26, I believe, it tells you that, blessed be Egypt, my people, Assyria, the works of my hand, Israel, mine inheritance. And so Egypt, at one time in the past and in the future, they're going to belong to the Most High again, according to his prophecy. Belong to the Most High. And he had a house in Egypt. And he told David, I haven't had a house since I left Egypt. Meaning he had one there. So the fact that he didn't mention Egypt, either Egypt is special in another kind of way, because it was a truly global empire, but he did not give it to Daniel or include it with Nebuchadnezzar. And the only thing common between all those nations in the vision is that they ruled Israel. Egypt never ruled Israel. They came in and conquered, but they didn't rule. Most High sent, I think it was So, Pharaoh So, S-O, to take back part of the land from Solomon, because Solomon was doing things he ought not do. But Egypt never ruled Israel. And so they're not included in that statue, that vision that the Most High gave to Nebuchadnezzar. But we are to look at the end times, and he says, there are going to be wars and rumors of wars, but the end is not yet. And so when I started reading through the prophecy, and something just does not sit well in my spirit, there's something here that we have missed. And I pray that, you know, the Most High reveals it, because part of the prophecy is for Israel in the past, and part of it is for Israel in the future, in the world in the future. But we keep applying, or I've noticed, and I've done it as well once or twice, and I'm like, you know, that just doesn't sit well. Applied a prophecy that does not apply to today. If it does, then it's going to apply to Israel in the future. But it already happened in the past. So as we look at these end times, you know, I want you to put on your critical skull cap. And for critical thinking, for some of the things that we're going to read, because there's something that we're missing. They were expecting Messiah to return right away. And we have been in the last days for the past 2,000 years, 2,000 plus years. The last days. But the end times of the last days is what we want to talk about on this evening. The end times of the last days. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 13. Because herein is the crux of the matter. Now, we're not talking about Messiah's return, because we're told that in the end times, they're going to say, hello, he's over here. No, he's over there. He's in this building. I'm Messiah. He says, don't believe any of that stuff. Because we have the clear sign of his return. The clear sign is that he's going to come in the clouds as the sun does. He's going to darken the sun out and the moon. He's going to be the one shining. And he's going to shine just like the sun does from the east to the west. So just like the day goes by and everybody in the world sees the sun that shines in the heavens, the star of the sun, they're going to see Messiah the same way. And all the world shall see him. They won't see him at the same time. But that's how he's going to come. So if he doesn't come that way, anybody that comes any other way is not him. He tells us exactly what to look for. Mark chapter 13, verse 19. For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation. So from the beginning of the creation to whatever time that this verse is talking about, there's going to be affliction. There's going to be pain. There's going to be suffering. There's going to be killing. There's going to be so much misery that was not such from the beginning of the creation until that time when it happened. And neither shall it be again. Now, the Most High says that it's going to be so bad. Let me get this in my Bible. It's going to be so bad that he's going to have to cut those days short. He's not going to shorten the length of the day. He's meaning that I'm going to have to cut these days of this affliction, because if I don't, all flesh would die. So the book of Mark, chapter 13, let me get there in my Bible. And except that Yah had shortened those days, verse 20, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, the elect are those chosen by the Most High, his saints, elect's sake, whom he has chosen. He has shortened the days. If it was supposed to be 5 years, no, I'm gonna need to cut these days right here down to like 3 years or 2 years or 1 year. I don't know what that time frame is, but he's going to shorten it. Because if he allows it to run its course, everybody would die. And he promised to save his elect. Verse 21. And then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Mashiach, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. Don't believe him. For false prophets and false Christ and false prophets shall arise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce the fool, to cause people to err, to believe a lie, like Satan did. Satan changed one word to seduce Eve. But it was what was in her heart. He's going to do the same thing. And if it were possible, even the elect. That's how strong this delusion and this seduction is going to be. It's going to look good to people, even the elect. And the elect have to stay focused on the Most High when these days come around. Now, we know Antichrist is involved with that. A false Christ, a false prophet is involved. And in that time, there's going to be great affliction. Now, people thought that this happened in 70 AD when Messiah prophesied about the destruction of Jerusalem. And it wasn't Shalmaneser, he was the Assyrian. It was a Babylonian king, and I can't remember his name. They came and conquered Judah. Because remember, at this time, the nation of Israel was split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. It was split. And so Shalmaneser conquered the northern kingdom. And I cannot remember the name of the king, the Babylonian king that conquered the southern kingdom. But in 70 AD, it was the Romans. Okay. In 70 AD, it was the Romans. And they surrounded Jerusalem because Israel rebelled against them. And the Romans tore Jerusalem and the temple to the ground, burnt it to the ground. Okay. And they were under siege for, if I'm not mistaken, don't quote me on this, but I believe it was 3 years. 3 years they were under siege, and people had started eating their children and all this kind of stuff. But it's going to be worse than that, because this is tied to Messiah's return. Messiah didn't return then. He prophesied that Jerusalem would be destroyed because they had rejected him. And they worshiped the temple more than they worshiped the Most High. And not only that, they defiled the temple. They worshiped other gods, other Elohim in the Most High's temple. They worshiped the stars, the moon, and the sun. They worship Baal. Solomon himself built altars to his wives, gods, Molech and all them, in the Most High's house. So he said, because you have rejected me and you have fornicated with these other gods, and some of you have committed adultery because you had to change your heart toward me. He did cause the temple to be destroyed. Okay. So he says it's going to be worse than that time. And this is what we want to look at in the last day, in the end time. Because something is coming, and we need to be aware of it. Now, Messiah said, we're going to read this. He said, I've told you all things. Verse 23. Mark chapter 13 and verse 23. Behold, take heed. Behold, I have foretold you all things. So we are missing something. We're missing something in his prophecy. So I've told you everything that you need to know, that you could know, to know that there's a time coming that's going to be so bad that even the very elect of the Most High would be subject to fall for it. I have told you all things. Verse 23. So as I was reading the prophecy and, you know, asking for discernment, and as I said, I'm tired this evening, and so I would, usually when I'm meditating on the word, you know, I'll go into a certain state, and I'm focused on the scriptures, I'm focused on the word, and I'm, you know, listening for the Most High to reveal to me. But in this case, I was falling asleep and dreaming, you know, about the scriptures and dreaming about the prophecies. And, but, you know, as I said, because I was really asleep, I wasn't in a meditative state, and I wasn't in the spirit, let's say. At least it didn't feel like the spirit. It felt like I was asleep and dreaming. And so I didn't get the answers I was looking for, but there's something that we have missed. And so I'm praying to the Most High that he reveals it to us as we go through this precept. If he doesn't reveal it tonight, that he reveals it to us, that he opens our understanding. Because Messiah has said, I have foretold you all things. Now, I know that he foretold us that, you know, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. So let's just read the scripture, okay? Verse 24, and then we'll go back to Matthew. But in those days, after that tribulation, because, see, we keep trying to lump everything under the great tribulation. There's more than one tribulation. And then there's the great tribulation. But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light. Now, this is done as a sign. But Messiah said that he would darken the moon and the sun, and that we would know his return, because he's going to be the one lighting up the sky. So don't look for me in the desert. Don't look for me in the chapel. Don't look for me in the sanctuary. Don't look for me being born of a woman. Don't look for me for somebody performing miracles, because that's not how I'm coming. So he's giving us the signs and telling us what we're supposed to be looking for. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. When the sun and the moon are darkened, when they don't give their light. Now, the only time we're really told that this is going to happen is during the Great Tribulation. And when we read, you know, Revelation, the book of Revelation, and we read about the plagues that are brought upon mankind, and all the green grass is burnt up, and all the trees are burnt up. That would give off enough smoke to darken the sky. But then we're also going to have volcanic eruptions that are going to darken the sky. And out of one of those volcanic eruptions, then these creatures are going to come out. And maybe they have been on the earth and on the earth right now. But they've been dormant. Maybe, you know, they were here before. And then, whatever the reason, they went dormant. But then the Most High is going to cause them to wake back up. And they're going to come, and they're going to have authority over men to sting men, but not kill them, but make them wish that they were dead. So, you know, it's like a black widow spider's bite. When I didn't even understand this until I got to Arizona. And when I moved into base housing, you know, the house was infested with black widows. And I'm not talking about small black widows either. I'm talking about large black widows. And so, you know, I was killing them, and a black widow's, their web has a distinctive sound when you break it. It snaps. Like you usually break a spider's web, you don't hear nothing. But if you break a black widow's web, it'll snap. So if you don't see them and you break a web and it snaps, you know, oh, there's a black widow around here somewhere. Okay. But the thing with the black widow is if it bites you, people who have been bitten by the black widow, the first time they don't die. But they wish they were dead. They wish that they were dead. So it's similar to that. But if you get bit a second time by a black widow, you die because the poison doesn't leave your system. It accumulates. So it's always there. Your body, I think, learns to deal with it. Your body learns to deal with it, but it doesn't get rid of it. So if you get bit a second time by a black widow, then you die. Well, these creatures that the Most High is going to let come out of the, it calls it the bottomless pit. But I really believe that it is a fissure that he opens up, or it is a volcano that opens up, and these creatures come out and they torment man for 6 months. Make all those people who don't have the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, who are not sealed by the Holy Spirit, it punishes them. These creatures have no effect on the elect of the Most High. They don't bite the elect of the Most High. And all the plagues that are in Revelations don't affect the elect. It is only the Antichrist that's given power and authority over the elect of the Most High. And he's given power to kill the elect. So I believe this is the days that he's talking about, that there's going to become such a great torment. And there's going to be, you know, such anguish as it was not before in history. It's going to be caused by the Antichrist. So when we're reading the scriptures, we got to know that this time is to come. And we need to be truly sealed by the Spirit of the Most High. Then his plague that he puts on man don't have any effect on his elect. But he says once he loses Antichrist, he allows him to come forth. See, I got to cut those days short. Because Antichrist would kill us all. He would kill us all. What does he care? He already knows where he's going. He already knows that it is written. He's going to the lake of fire. Him and the false prophet are going to the lake. So why would he care anything about man? He cares nothing for man. So as we read this, we got to understand that there's, you know, Messiah didn't return in 70 AD. He didn't return in 100 AD. The kingdom of heaven is on the earth, but Messiah is not on his throne. And we are supposed to be establishing the kingdom in the earth. We are. Because the kingdom of heaven is in us. It's in us. It's here. We keep waiting on him. But he says, when he comes in the end times, then it's not going to be a pretty thing. But we want to know when those times are, because he said, I've given you all the signs. I've told you everything. So we have been misinterpreting something. That's all I'm saying. Somewhere we are misinterpreting something. And when I say we, I'm talking about man. The church, we're misinterpreting something. go to verse 27. And this, you know, for the saints, we need to understand verse 27. And then shall he send his angels, and they shall gather his elect four winds from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Now he gives a parable. And remember, a parable is not designed for the masses to understand. So when we read this parable, understand that it is not straightforward speech. It's not to be taken literally. It needs to be interpreted. Now learn a parable of the fig tree when her branches is yet tender and putteth forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So you in like manner, when you see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh. Know that it is near. The end. Even at the door. Verily, I say unto you, that this generation shall not pass. Now, it's the generation that sees these signs. Not talking about the generation that he's speaking to at that time. Because they had a hope. They thought Messiah was going to return right then, whenever he left. They were waiting for his return, and he returned in the form of the Holy Spirit, but they were looking for his physical return. So in verse 30, where it says, verily I say unto you that this generation, he's going back to verse 29, that just like when you see the fig tree and you see the sign in the fig tree putting forth its leaves, most trees put forth their leaves in the springtime, except for in Arizona. They put forth their leaves in the wintertime, because in the springtime, it's just too hot. You know, we have a reverse cycle here. But everywhere else, spring is in the springtime, and most trees are putting forth their leaves. Just know that it is nigh, that it is near. Even at the doors. So this generation that sees this, the generation that sees that the Most High's elect are getting gathered from the four winds, the generation that sees that generation shall not pass till all these things are done. The great affliction, the gathering of the saints, the Antichrist, the return of Messiah. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So he's saying, this is written in stone. It's written in concrete. Heaven and earth will pass away before these words change, before they don't happen. Now, he tells us in verse 32, but of the day and that hour, the very moment, no man knows. No, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Now, when the Most High came to the earth in the form of a man, he did not give it to himself certain things. Because he knew from the position of son, he would tell. But from the position of father, he's like, I have set these things in order, and my word shall not return unto me void. And I don't want them waiting till 1159 to try to get right. That's why I believe he told his disciples the way that he told them. Set the expectation in them that I'm returning, but they didn't know when. So they looked for him every day. And that's how he wants us to look for him every day, because we don't know the day or the hour. He says, but you know that you'll know the sign. So don't worry about wars and rumors of wars. Don't worry about that. But look for that great affliction, because that's the sign. And when it gets, you know, we think that we're looking at affliction in the world. We're looking at people being persecuted. And, you know, we say it's a terrible thing. But what about when we start seeing millions of people killed at one time for what they believe? For who they say that they are. Because see, this warning is to the elect, not to the sinner, to the elect of the Most High. It's coming a great persecution on you. And it's coming one that even has the power to almost deceive you if you don't stay straight, if you don't stay focused, if you don't make the Most High number one. Then you will fall for this trickster, this seducer. You'll fall for Satan. That's why it's important that we pursue the Most High with our whole heart, with our all, with everything. Because other than that, you know, we're vulnerable too. We're looking for his return. We're wanting him to come back and to gather us. Satan knows that too. And so if we are not prayed up, fast up, focused on the Most High, if we are caring about the worries of this world, if we're not focused on him, Satan can easily come in and deceive us. And we would be following the wrong one. Because we're looking and we're vulnerable. And the only way to stay out of that is to stay focused on the Most High. Making him first, as he has said. If you cannot make me first in your life, if you can't pick up your cross and bear it, if you love anybody or anything more than me, you cannot be my disciple because you ain't gonna make it. This is going to be critical in the end times. So he tells them, the Father is not given the exact date or hour. Because then you say, oh, well, I got until 12/31/2023, 11:50, then I'll try to get right. Other than that, I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to live the life that I think I ought to live when we know what we're supposed to be doing, but we choose to do otherwise. We choose to allow ourselves weakness under the umbrella of I'm only human. And the Most High is going to say, you only need to get in that lake. Heed and watch and pray. For you know not when the time is. That's the expectation that he has for his body. And in the day when he left, when he ascended back into heaven, all of his disciples was looking for his immediate return. Immediate. When shall these things be? Go back to Matthew chapter 24. The book of Matthew chapter 24, and I'm going to get it, pull it up in my Bible. rather than out of the precept that I'm using. Let's start in verse 4. Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. And Yeshua answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. No man deceive you. There's going to be many men, people that come in his name, saying they know when the day is, saying they know all this stuff. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, I am the Savior, and shall deceive many. The world is going to be ripe for it and has been ripe ever since he left, even his disciples, because their expectation was his immediate return. For many shall come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nations shall rise against nation. Now, I'm going to pull the Greek translation, the Greek Bible that this is translated from, because this word nation is an English translation of the Greek. For nations shall rise against nation, but that word in the Greek is ethnos, E-T-H-N-O-S, ethnos, a race. Then they have, you know, a definition for a race, a tribe, specifically a foreign, non-Jewish. One usually implication, pagan, Gentile, heathen, nation, people. But this is really talking about ethnicity. And there shall be an ethnicity shall rise against ethnicity. Race wars. And then we have kingdoms. Kingdoms. So if we believe that a nation is the same thing as a kingdom, then that verse should not make any sense to us. Why is he saying nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom? If they are both just talking about people or groups of people that are equal. The United States is a nation, it's not a kingdom. As we define the word. But the United States is made up of many ethnicities. And this is what the scripture actually says. Ethnos. Races. For race shall rise against race. Let's look up the word for kingdom. Properly, and that's the word basileus, B-I-S-B-A-S-I-L-E-F-A, basileia. Properly, royalty. In essence, abstractly, rule, or concretely, a realm, literally or figuratively, kingdom plus reign. So these are people who are what? In power, in charge, government, country. So country against country, but it'll start off as race against race, country against country, because, you know, mankind has this way about him that if he eliminates his foe, if it's a race of people, then he's got to find something else. So, you know, they kill off all of whatever race of people. Now they look at even within them own selves, oh, you got blue eyes and you got brown eyes. And the ones of us with blue eyes are better than you that have brown eyes. You know, there was a woman, I think she was out of England, that did this experiment with children to teach them about race or teach them about prejudice. And these were, you know, her students were all Caucasian children. But the difference is that some had brown eyes and some had blue eyes. And she sort of reversed it and said the ones with brown eyes were better than the ones that had blue eyes. The blue eyes were inferior. And you know, these little kids started discriminating against the ones with blue eyes. But they're all white, but the only difference is their eye color. So she did this, and she started teaching it to, you know, to corporations and things like that. You can find her on the internet, because this was not that long ago. But it's surprising how mankind is taught to be prejudiced, whether it's skin color, eye color, another race. So the scripture says there's going to be race wars that in the U.S. Don't let Trump and Trump supporters fool you. That's what they wanted to start. A race war. We want to put things back to the way it was. We want to eliminate a certain people from this country. Go back to Africa. They don't say those things lightly. And there are many of them that actually believe that. Never mind how they got here, it's okay for them to be here in this country. When they didn't come here, you know, they came here and took it over, but they want the people that they brought here. Now they want to, you know, go back to Africa. Race, all based upon race. So the scriptures are verifying themselves. But now we have to look at good and evil. Because this is what the scripture is about. Good and evil. And so the Most High is saying that there's going to come a time when good and evil will get into a battle. The last battle for good and evil, or the vast majority of the last battle. And Satan is going to come against the elect, the good of the Most High. And for their sake, the battle between good and evil, I need to cut those days short. Because evil will win. But for the elect's sake, I'm going to cut it short. Because I'm not going to allow Satan to win. That's what the Most High is saying. But he's given us a clue here in Matthew 24. All these, when we see nation rising against nation, ethnicity rising against ethnicity, government rising against government after that because they feel like they are a superior race. And so now we need to go after these people. Started off with these people eliminating these people. And we see it in the world. We see ethnic cleansing in the world already. The only difference is from the past, it's been here in the past, but with the information age, we have the ability to know about it. We have the ability to be informed. But we don't do anything. We don't say anything. That's them over there. And we don't even recognize it for what it is. Long as it's not happening to who? Us. And as soon as it starts happening to us, then, oh, now we got a problem. Can we see where the Most High would have a problem with that? No matter if it's in the end times or any time. Why would you not get up and speak against wickedness? Why would you not do something against wickedness? You saw them killing those people, and it, just because it wasn't you, then you didn't have no concern. So it's already here. It's in the world. But then it's going to be stepped up, but it's going to come to a point where they're going to come against you because of who you say that you are. I'm a child of the Most High, and I keep Sabbath. It's going to become down to that, because they're already working on laws to make Sunday the official worship day. And if you don't worship on Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to use the U.S. to enforce it globally, up under this one world peace that is started by the Catholic Church and all the other religions, Hindus, Muslims, all these other religions have signed on to this, headed by the Catholic Church. And they're doing it all in the name of peace. But what does the scripture say? What did Messiah say? They're going to be seeking peace, and then suddenly destruction comes. Destruction. Because they are trying to enforce the peace against the laws of the Most High. Sunday is not the day of worship. The seventh day is not the first day. So they're going to be using these things to discriminate with. It is, what will you do when they come after you? Because these are the beginning of sorrows. And this is in the works and has been for a couple of years. I know it's been a couple of years since I read that article. Just one day, they'll start enforcing it. Oh, you say you're a Sabbath worshiper? You're a Sabbath keeper? Well, because right now, there is no official day of worship in the U.S. Don't let anybody deceive you or fool you. The United States government doesn't have an official, quote-unquote, religion, nor an official, quote-unquote, day of worship. It's not a Christian nation. It's against the Constitution. There shall be separation of church and state. So you are free to worship whatever you want to worship, whomever you want to worship. And the government right now is not going to get involved, but they are here shortly in the future. Because they believe that the morality of man has declined. And not just, you know, not them themselves, of course. But, you know, you got all these killings, you know, black folks killing other black folks in Chicago. Of course they're going to point at that. And you got people who are strung out on drugs. You got people who are immoral relationships. And so they're going to start using this as a standard. The problem is that they're enforcing their own standards. And the Sabbath is that important. Because this is what they tried to wipe out. When you go research the history, you'll find that they tried to eradicate the Sabbath. So this is going to be the beginning of sorrows. Now, the plague, not just the flu, but COVID and Ebola and all these other diseases that the Most High is allowing them to make, he will use against them. It's just like AIDS was proven to be designed by the U.S. Army in the 1960s. And it was designed to attack people of color and gay people, because their understanding was that people of color are immoral and being gay is immoral. But what they didn't count on and what they didn't see is the vast majority of them are immoral. But this is a proven fact. And it was used against them. So we got to understand this is the beginning of sorrows. You can look this up on the internet. This is where I found it. And it is an actual official document by Henry Kissinger. It's called... Something 2000, but it had to do with the year 2000 and them feeling that they had to take the world population back to what it was in the 1930s. And so they decided to do this through AIDS and Ebola, because these are all man-made diseases. But the Most High allows them to do that, but it usually ends up backfiring. The beginning of sorrow. But because we have become apathetic, we become desensitized. Things going on in other countries, as long as it's not affecting us, then we don't usually take issue. Now, when the end comes and this last battle, this last, I don't want to say a battle because we're in a battle. But these last times, this season, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, you being the elect, and shall kill you. A lot of us don't want to lose our life. A lot of us would do anything to save our life. A lot of us don't want to bear this cross. It's going to cost me my life. It will cost me my life. Yeah, I need for you to die. I need you to bear your cross. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. Remember, he said it's going to become a time of great affliction. And it's against the elect of the Most High. Doesn't matter whether you're black, white, Puerto Rican, Mexican. It's about where your spiritual values are. And are you in truth? Because a lot of us believe that we're spiritual beings, but we're not necessarily in truth. And you shall be hated of all nations for his sake, because you believe in keeping his statutes, his laws, and his commandments. You believe in keeping his Sabbath. You don't walk in the ways of man. If man is wrong, you don't walk in their ways. You don't accept what they do. All of our examples in the scriptures, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whether it was Daniel, whether it was Joseph, they didn't walk in the ways of the people of their time. And if they were in captivity, they obeyed the king unless the king did something that was outside the laws of the Most High, would cause them to break the laws of the Most High. That's the way you have to be dedicated. The way I have to be dedicated. The Most High says, if a man sleeps with another man, sleeps with man as he would a woman, it is an abomination in that he should be killed. We say, oh, we're against gay marriage and all that kind of stuff, but, you know, we don't have no power, so we don't speak up. And this is not all of us. But it is especially, it's especially a problem within the Hebrew community. Don't want to get involved with the politics of the land, but you're the salt of the earth. Supposed to be. But I digress. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, for Messiah's name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. I say I love Messiah, you say you love Messiah, but we don't love Messiah the same way. I keep it Sabbath, you don't keep it, so now you're offended. Or I'm offended at you. See what he's saying here? These people are saying they believe the same things, but not the same way. And so we both say we're Christian, quote-unquote Christians, but I'm going to turn you in. Because you keep Sabbath. And we've made the law of the land Sunday worship. I hope I'm painting a picture for you. Where you see how this can easily happen. And it could be your friend. I don't know why you believe the stuff you believe. I believe that you're in a cult. Believe that what you're doing is not in the scriptures. If you go on verbatim by the scriptures, because it's not the way that they believe, they'll be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. How are we saying we serve the same Elohim? We say we serve the same God. That we are in the same body. And then we have hate for one another. Verse 11. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, because unrighteousness, this word iniquity, look up this definition for this word. Iniquity. That is the Greek word anomia. Anomia. A-N-O-M-I-A. But pronounced with an A-M-O-double-E. With the hash, or not the hash, the accent. That's A-H. From illegality. In essence, violation of law. The ones that don't believe that they have to keep the laws of the Most High. We're not up under the laws. What are you under then? We're up under grace. You up under grace one time and one time only when you first come to Messiah. They want grace forever. Rubber stamp grace or universal grace forever. That's not what the scriptures teach. But that's what man has made it. Because lawlessness shall abound. If you don't believe that you have to keep the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, then you are going to break them. They don't apply to you. Lawlessness shall abound. And because lawlessness shall abound, and it's every man for himself, every man doing what's right in his own eyes, how are you going to tell me I'm wrong for doing what I'm doing if you're doing whatever? That's why people come up and say, you can't judge me. You doing just as much lawlessness as I'm doing. And saying it's okay because it's you. Wrong mentality. Wrong rationale. The bottom line is, we should be keeping the statutes, laws, the commandments, and the ordinances, and the judgments of the Most High. That's what he calls a righteous, a person doing right, obeying his laws. The word iniquity means illegality, violation of law, wickedness. But we don't see ourselves as being wicked if we're not obeying his laws. Oh, no, I'm not doing what they're doing over there. I'm not wicked. But you don't obey the laws of the Most High. So you're using your own self as the standard. The scripture says that a man that will judge himself, meaning by his standards, is a fool. A man that will judge himself using himself as the standard is a fool. And that's what people are doing. Judging themselves by themselves. And it's going to allow all this to come into play. Because it allows iniquity to abound. It allows people to call evil good and good evil. Because they're self-defining it. So a rapist will say, hey, rape is good. The rapee will say, the rape ain't good. Defining our own standards. Determining based upon what we like. Determining that to be good and that to be right. Rather than using the laws of the Most High as the standard. So it says, so because iniquity, lawlessness, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Of course it's going to wax cold because you have no standard to go by. If you don't agree with my standard of righteousness and I don't agree with yours, how are we ever going to come together? We're trying to find people who agree like we agree, who think like we think. Even if we don't keep the laws of the Most High. Well, this is my understanding of this. This is my definition of this. Oh, I agree with that. Never mind that it don't line up with the word of the Most High. It's just what we think is good. This is what we have to be looking for in the end times. That's what causes iniquity to abound. That's what causes the love of many to wax cold. Can have no natural affection for you if I'm going by my own standard and you're going by your own standard, where are we going to meet at? Then we find people that have what, the same standard or close to the same standard that we have, and we try to meet in the middle. We compromise. There's not going to be a natural affection. People will wax cold. They'll become cold toward one another. Because they're not using his standard. There's no standard. So if I got my standard, you got yours. This person over here got there, and the other 5 million people got their own standard. And we kind of agree on what's good, and then we have little bitty variances of what's good and what's not. That's why the Most High has to be the standard. The Most High has to be the standard. Because man will make laws that are wicked. Man will make laws and make legal, but the Most High says it's illegal. Then the government becomes in iniquity, an unrighteous government, making laws that are contrary to the Most High. And because we're citizens in that land, we say, oh, that's the law of the land. I pray we can get this. Pray we can see it. Because this is what's going to come on us. You're not going to give a damn about, oh, you a child of the Most High? You are a, quote unquote, a saint? Do you believe the way we believe? Do you believe that you have to keep the law? Because we don't believe that. You are too, what do they call it? Legalistic. We ain't up under that stuff. That's a problem. It's a very big problem. Verse 12 again. And because iniquity, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, y'all just do what y'all want to do. Y'all all going to hell anyway. Yeah, I know that that's wrong, but it ain't happening to me, so let them do what they're going to do. We're supposed to stand up against all unrighteousness with using the Most High as the standard, not ourselves. There's some things that there's some things that personally we may be okay with. Personally, that are contrary to the ways of the Most High. But we as individuals are personally okay with it. I guess we're supposed to be the exception to the rule. But we cannot use ourselves as the standard. That's why he says, follow me, him. But he that shall endure unto the end, he that shall endure, that means to stay in the ways of the Most High, to stay in the path of righteousness, to stay out of sin, to stay out of transgression. That's enduring. Doing what he said to do. The same shall be saved. Enduring is not just surviving the best way that you can by your own standards. That's what a lot of people are doing. They are surviving and doing the best that they can, some better than most, according to the world standard. And they are enduring, yet and still, they're outside the will of the Most High. He that shall endure. Talking about obeying the Most High. Talking about keeping his statutes, his laws, his commandments. Staying out of sin. Staying out of wickedness. He that shall be lawful until the end. As he said, because of iniquity, because of lawlessness, the love of many waxed cold, because they didn't want to keep his laws. Now, here is where we're at. And this is what we're doing. And this gospel of the kingdom. The gospel is not the Most High is going to bless you. The gospel is not what they've been prosperity. The gospel is how to get into the kingdom of the Most High. That's the good news. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit to enter into his kingdom, to have your sins washed away, to become righteous. Iniquity. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. So they can't say they didn't hear. The kingdom of heaven is here. Is that not what we read the other night? The kingdom of heaven is within us. But we don't act like it. We're too busy trying to be in this world and of this world. The gospel of the kingdom. That's what Messiah said. That's what John said. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Messiah started his ministry the same way. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. You can enter back into right relationship and get your citizenship back. The citizenship that Adam and Eve lost. The citizenship into heaven, the kingdom of heaven. You can get it back. That's the good news. But because people are practicing iniquity, because people are doing what they want to do, because people determine for themselves what they want to believe is right and wrong, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. I told you the Most High is waiting on us. To preach the gospel of the kingdom and to do what he said to do. Then the end will come. We're waiting on Messiah, trying to survive day to day, doing what we think is right when he's already told us what we need to do. I have told you all. Preach this gospel of the kingdom. Live as a citizen in the kingdom. Obey the laws of the kingdom. Don't practice iniquity. Not according to man's rules, but according to the Most High's rules, according to his laws, his statutes, his commandments. Why? Because they are right. Why? Because his law trumps man's law. But because people won't do that, and because people want to believe that they can do whatever they want to do, they lose hope, they lose love, they lose unity, they lose natural affection. They're only doing something because they've got something they want to gain. They're not doing it because it's the right thing to do. They're doing it because what's in it for me? So if we're looking for the end times, And we want to look for what's the trigger for the end times. The gospel of the kingdom. The true gospel. Not what they're preaching in these churches. Not what they're teaching in these churches. Not what they're teaching out of the Vatican or out of the Protestant churches. Because if they were preaching the truth, Messiah would have returned already. He goes back to the days of Noah. The Most High never warned mankind that he was going to kill everybody. He never sent somebody out to preach the gospel saying, you better repent because the Most High is going to destroy the world. It never happened. Noah never said that. Noah said, hey, y'all better obey the laws of the Most High. That's what he preached. He was a preacher of righteousness, a preacher of lawfulness. But he never warned the people. It's not written in the scriptures. And Messiah specifically said they didn't know the flood was coming until it got there, until it was on them. So Noah never preached 120 years to repent. 20 years, y'all better start keeping the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. Y'all better stop all that homosexuality, all that bestiality. Y'all better stop all that fornication. Y'all better stop not caring one for another, trying to get over on each other. Not having natural affection one toward another, but only seeing what you can take from each other. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. For a witness testifies. For a testimony. Did you not hear the gospel? Did you accept it or reject it? Then shall the end come. So we're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars. We're going to go through this great affliction. And the Most High is going to have to cut some days short. But this gospel of the kingdom has to be preached. Repent. Turn back to the Most High and keep his laws. Keep his ways. Walk in his steps. Follow his guidance. Do what he says to do. Don't add to or take away from. He never asked what our opinion was. When it comes to following him, when it comes to worshiping him, he never asked any man, how do you think you should worship me? Never. He always told them exactly what he wanted. And he said, don't add to or take away from it. Then he killed Nadab and Abihu. Nadab meaning liberal and Abihu meaning worship. He killed liberal worship. People doing worshiping him how they want to worship him rather than how he says to worship him. And because men have that mentality to do what it is that they want to do, every man doing what's right in his own eyes, because I'm grown. I'm a grown man, dog. Who he think he talking to? I'm a 95-year-old woman. doing what we want to do. Can't hear because of pride. We want to know when the end is going to come. When we do what we're supposed to do. So I guess if we don't want the end to come, we won't do what we're supposed to do. We've been, that's what man has been doing for 2,000 years. What they want to do, but not what the Most High wants us to do. And like, it affects him. It don't affect him either way. So what if I got to wait 6,000 years? You the one being born and dying, not me. You the one being born, being told what to do and then dying. And if you don't do it, when I finally do, decides to resurrect everybody, you're the one going to the lake, not me. It causes men to think that the Most High is slack. But I have appointed a day. I'm not slack. You are. So don't think that I'm easy. Don't think that I'm slack. Don't think that I don't care. Don't think that I'm not involved with the affairs of men. Because I know you. I know your ways. And I'm not going to let it be said that I'm not righteous, that I'm not a rightful God, a rightful Elohim, a just Elohim. So I'm giving you chances. But when that day comes, when somebody figures out and preaches the gospel of the kingdom globally, then the end will come. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, your will be done in all things. That each and every person hear your voice and make the decision that they are going to walk in your ways. They're not going to practice iniquity. They're not going to justify themselves. Because this is what causes their brother and their sister to trip and fall. This is what causes their brothers and their sisters, their sons and daughters, grandsons and granddaughters to fall. Let them follow after righteousness, no matter what the cost. Let them commit with their whole heart. And make the priority preaching the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is here. Has been here for 2,000 years. Man just won't do what the Most High said do. Let it start with us. Let us do right in the eyes of the Most High. Let us do what he commands that we do. Let us get out of our own selves. Let us stop using ourselves as our own standard. Let us stop saying, what do I think about this? And say, what does Yah think about this? What is his standard concerning this thing? Am I in line with his standard? If I'm not Let me bring myself in line with his standard. Father, these things I pray in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us not get involved or worried about wars and rumors of wars coming against other races, countries coming against other countries. You said these things must be. But there's coming a time where if you are truly following the commandments of the Most High, if you're truly keeping his Sabbath day, the world is going to come against us. Know that it is coming. Fear Yah and keep his commandments. Thanks. Shalom, and have a blessed Sabbath. For those of you who are up north in that bitter cold, get another coat. Stay in the warmth. Peace and blessings. Shalom. Shalom, saints. Have a blessed evening. It's weird.